Welcome. I'm Lauren Rosen, licensed marriage and family therapist.
And I'm Kelly Franke, licensed marriage and family therapist. And this is Purely OCD.
Kelly and I are OCD specialists who happen to also be in recovery from OCD ourselves. Each week we meet to talk about all things OCD, one topic at a time.
You may notice we try to bring a little levity and humor to our discussion around this deeply painful disorder, as this has been a very powerful tool for our own recovery as well as our clients.
If you'd care to join us, we record live on Mondays at 12:30 p.m. Pacific time on YouTube. We generally answer a few questions from our live viewers related to whatever topic we're covering that week. And if there's a topic you'd like covered, you can also submit a request on our website, purelyocd.com.
And if you do find this podcast helpful, please leave us a review so we can gain more visibility to reach more people like yourself and help spread awareness of what it's like to live with OCD.
Quick reminder, this is not intended as therapy or as a replacement for therapy. This is for educational purposes only.
So without further ado, here is this week's episode.
Welcome back, friend.
Yeah, welcome. It's been a little bit of a stretch since we met last, but we had a lot of things going on.
Moving parts and such.
Yeah.
One of the days we were, I guess it was a Sunday, but we got to go see and talk at the movie.
Also...
OCD SoCal, you're absolutely right. And then at Pure O, the movie.
Yep.
Which was wonderful. And we're going to have Dylan Tucker, the director of Pure O, on next time. So in 2 weeks to sort of talk with him about it. It's actually now available on streaming platforms. So if you're interested in going and checking it out, it's so cool that there are movies that depict the experience so intimately. Did you see that Turtles All the Way Down got made into a film as well?
What is that?
So it's a book, actually. I haven't read it, but I'm familiar with it. It's a book about a young woman with OCD.
Oh.
And so I guess it's getting more traction in film and television right now, it would appear. It came out on, I think, Max, which is part of HBO. So,
I feel like I should know that. I don't.
I don't know. Maybe. But that's it. You know it now.
I do.
So there you go.
Yeah.
So with all of that said, today we're going to be talking about contamination OCD, and this is the second of our three-part series. We'll be talking about compulsions. Last time we talked about obsessions, and excited to dive in.
Yeah. So if we're looking at compulsions for contamination OCD, what are the typical things we might see? Like this, maybe the starting with the stereotypical stuff.
Yeah. So probably the most stereotypical compulsion for this subtype is the hand washing, right? Excessive hand washing happens a lot with contamination OCD, and that kind of doesn't matter what kind of contamination we're talking about, whether it's germs, whether it's substances on your hands that might be like different chemicals that you might be concerned about, or even like, you know, mind altering substances. Hand washing is one of the more common types of compulsions that we see with this subtype.
Definitely. And I mean, just as a reminder, these compulsions are endless. Like there's so many types of compulsions that can go on, and they're not necessarily exclusive to one subtype.
That's right.
Somebody with harm obsessions might be hand washing because they think if they wash their hands, they've eliminated some type of fear around harming someone. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And to that end, you could even see where with harm OCD, somebody might wash their hands because they feel contaminated by the thought itself. And they may not worry that they're likely to act on it, but they may just be made very uncomfortable by its presence. And so it's like, oh, I've got to get this out of my head so that I have a good day, right?
Yeah.
That's another example. So you're absolutely right. It could be for any number of categories. And for any number of reasons within those categories too. What about showering rituals? That's another, obviously a continuation on hand washing.
Showering rituals are very common. So it might be washing your arms, you know, or any part of your body, a ritualized amount of times, like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. Mm-hmm. It's elaborate. It can be really elaborate. It can be really basic. It can be doing it till it feels right. Mm-hmm. I think this could go with hand washing and the shower rituals. It could go into also like the visual checking that goes on of, did I get something on my hand? Is there something on my hand? Washing your hand. I'm just saying like arm because you guys can see what I'm doing. But like looking to see if there's even like, did I get all the soap off? Did I get the dirt? Like, is there something on there?
Yes.
Or like touching to see if it's sticky. There's all kinds of stuff that can go on with that.
That's such a good point. Yeah. And to, that idea of having it all off as well, not just the substance that you might be concerned about, but I've actually seen, and I think you're kind of referencing this in a way, like people who are anxious that the soap itself is not off and that that actually might be a contaminant too.
Yes.
Gosh, it's so tricky.
I know. Right? I know.
Man.
We see it a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think too, recognizing at, like, as you were talking about, you might do it a certain number of times. There also, I often find there's an order.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. With shower rituals. I mean, it certainly can happen in hand washing, but we see a lot of, I don't want to wash this body part after washing this body part.
Oh yeah. God forbid we wash our butt and then we wash our hair.
Why is it it's the butt, man. It's usually the butt.
It's usually the butt or bodily fluid.
Yes.
Sections of our body.
Sections. Zones. Yeah. Zones. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Because the fear being, and that's where too, sort of pointing back to our initial episode, that it can be about anxiety related to the impact of being contaminated with a germ, but it also can just be disgust. And they're like, I don't want to have the awareness.
Yes.
That I've touched this area of my body and then I've touched this area of my body because now they're not, it's not clean, it's not right.
Yes. And that reminds me too, with soap too, you might see an excessive amount of use of soap.
Yes.
Right. I remember at some point in my life, I was like, how does a bar of soap, I mean, obviously it was not in a good place, but how does a bar of soap stay clean?
Yeah.
It's stupid. Like, this is OCD. It's like, who on planet Earth has ever had that thought?
A bunch of people with OCD.
Yeah, a bunch of people with OCD. And then I was like, you know what? This isn't helpful to me. Like, I have to move on.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is interesting that. And then you'll see rituals around like, I want to make sure that the soap is clean before I start to wash my hands with it or before I'm considering it actually being effective as part of washing my hands.
Or a certain amount of pumps of soap too.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's a numbers game.
Certain kinds of soap, right? Like I really want an antibacterial soap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
Versus just a regular run-of-the-mill kind of a soap.
Yes, true, true.
Yeah.
Any other overt, very obvious?
Well, I think making a nod here to the impact of accommodation with hand washing, and also I guess it's a natural transition into avoidance as well.
Yeah.
But looking at how people with OCD will reach out to their loved ones and ask for them to either avoid certain things or to wash after, you know, after they've touched certain things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which can be just as problematic.
Right. Or like, do you think that this is clean? Or do you think that what I have touched is actually contaminated? So the reassurance seeking is real with this stuff. And also with that, the avoidance, right? Which, like, if we have somebody who's engaging in a ton of compulsions, and they don't want to engage in those compulsions, they might say, okay, I'm not going to do any of that. Like, I'm not even going to cook. My partner is going to cook, so I don't have to touch the food.
Yep. So I don't have to touch the food. And then also want to point out how that can get into the different feared consequences. So it could be, I don't want to touch it and then get the contaminant and then spread the contaminant or even ingest the contaminant. But also it could be, I don't want to cook because then if it's contaminated and it harms one of my loved ones, right, then I'm responsible. So yeah. I just wanted to point out that it's like, this is where it bifurcates in the way that you were talking earlier, that it's like, It's not just about, oh, I might get contaminated. Now it's the fear that, like, I'm going to hurt somebody else because I undercooked it, for instance.
Right. Exactly. So I don't know if we want to move into some types of these covert compulsions that can go on with contamination.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I know you like to talk wet paint. That's the first thing that comes to mind.
Right. We could do wet paint, which is just mentally tracking. So it's if you're putting, you know, this contaminant, like this thing of lipstick into touching the counter at CVS is contaminated. And now I don't know why you would put lipstick on there, but let's pretend you did.
Well, maybe you're purchasing it.
Purchasing from CVS. There you go. That makes sense. That's a great point. So Now you go, oh, it's like it's been dipped in a bucket of wet paint. And now every single place this lipstick has touched, this person has tracked every place. So it could be their purse, their car, their counter in their bathroom. So in order to eliminate that, they might go back and wash all of these, you know, what they perceive to be contaminated areas.
Yep. And you can really see how time consuming multiple parts of this can be. One, the part where you're actually having to track and keep track of each mentally, of the places. Yeah. It's a lot mentally to try and do. And also, so let's take the purse, for instance. You put the lipstick back in the purse. And if you then decide later that you're going to go and clean anything that it came into contact with, How time consuming is that going to be, right? Like, then are you going to have to clean out everything in your purse? Cause it could have, it could have touched, it could have sort of, if we're looking at it as wet paint, right? It could have dribbled onto other things. So it just ends up being hugely, hugely time consuming.
Well, and some people, you know, I'm sure you've had some clients where it's like it's not even worth it. The purse is just thrown away.
Yes. Yep.
So there you go.
Yeah. No, it's, and that, talk about expensive, right? You can see where that would become.
I mean, I definitely have had a few clients where, or I've read or encountered from other clinicians where there's been a fear of some type of like asbestos or lead or mold. And there's been multiple checks if professionals who've gone in and they've said, nope, this house is good. We're good. And they may actually even move out, or they'll avoid buying a house for potential or renting an apartment for things like that.
Yeah.
So this can,
in spite of the lots of evidence that it's probably fine, right?
Probably fine, but that's how painful this process is.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. Yeah. So what else? I mean, in terms, because I know we didn't talk too much about avoidance. So obviously we have to talk about mental compulsion still too, but like, is there anything else? I mean, you're kind of just talking about it now, even though like we're like under the category of mental, right? Like that you might avoid buying a house or you might avoid going certain places, but any other like significant or substantial avoidance that you see other than like, I don't know, like the examples that you just gave?
I mean, avoiding certain areas, maybe like the kitchen.
Yeah.
Avoiding
the bathroom.
Or the bathroom, public restrooms. Some people might even like hold their bowel movements. You see that actually a lot in young children.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, worried that they'll have to shower after or because it's like followed by this huge ritual that's involved.
Yeah. Yep. That's such a good point that there is this, that because of the awareness of all of the ritual, it's like, it's a mixed bag. You're on the one hand, people feel very strongly that they want to do the ritual because of the fear. And at the same token, they don't want to do the ritual because it's so time consuming. It can, you know, like cause problems unto itself. So, but of course then the avoidance itself is.
Yeah. Hugely problematic.
A response as well. And the response that we want to look at. Yeah.
Right. And then avoidance is it makes everything go, your world goes so much smaller, so quick.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And usually when people seek treatment, usually by the time that Kelly and I see them, it's like, I want my life back.
Right. Like they're not going to visit family. They're not eating, you know, certain foods. They're not going to the park. It's a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Also, somebody was asking in the comments, you know, how do we treat contamination OCD? And I just wanted to acknowledge that we'll be talking more about that in our next segment, which won't be 2 weeks from today, but 4 weeks from today, which is the third installment on contamination OCD. The short answer is exposure and response prevention. Yeah. I mean, there are other treatments, and Kelly and I use a lot of acceptance and commitment therapy as well. But we will be going into that. So if you're interested in tuning in, we encourage you to do so in 4 weeks' time.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think research too happens compulsion wise. Like maybe excessively researching. If we're talking about specifically contamination, because it's so vast and we're talking about looking into contaminants, like researching what's, you know, like asbestos stuff or, what are the side effects of this particular fear of coming in contact with. And, if it's like sickness contamination, like let's say it's like COVID stuff, they might research that excessively. Mm-hmm. And then they could be asking for reassurance or going to great lengths to try to prevent anything bad from happening.
Yes. As well. Absolutely. I think the research is really an important thing to call out. And something in what you said reminded me of another area where if you're concerned about food as well. And we see this in OCD. We also see this in something like emetophobia, which is the fear of throwing up, very similar in terms of how we treat it, that people will sometimes try and research like, well, how long is a food good for? Right. And like, how do I know when I have to throw it away? And, you know, you have to do that for every single food. It's to be pretty time consuming and problematic. I also wanted to nod a little bit, and it's where it becomes kind of a fine line. We'll talk about emotional contamination in another episode, probably, or series of episodes. But sometimes the contaminant isn't something that we would think of. That's not like a physical substance, you know. Like sometimes it's. I was just thinking about it in the context of food, right? Like, oh, well, it's old. And I don't think that it's bad. I don't think it's going to make me sick, right? But it's I don't want to have that like oldness of that product on me. Right? Like it's more like a concept than it is like in the very same way that we might see like I don't want anxiety on me, right? Which we can all appreciate that anxiety doesn't really get on people in the same way that, you know, like germs get on people. And yet that sort of that I just wanted to sort of nod, like I said, over to the,
yeah,
the way that this begins to spread out.
Definitely. Definitely. And I forgot what I was going to say, something related to that. I was like repeating it in my mind and it's gone now, but that's fine.
I love brains,
it's
man.
Fine.
Brains. It's fine. Yeah, it is fine.
It's just the contamination OCD is so, it's massively impactful and it's such a huge subtype. And, you know, people with OCD might have another version of OCD and then also have contamination OCD. It seems like maybe there's new people who aren't normally watching our YouTube channel because I'm seeing some newer people or like comments. So I think it's important to know that, like, you know, OCD isn't just this stereotypical contamination OCD.
No, it's much, much broader than that. And mm-hmm. if you're interested in learning more, as I sort of tried to type in to the comments, like we highly recommend that you go check out our website where we have lots and lots of episodes covering a lot of different topics and where we continue, we'll continue to add more information as we go. Mm-hmm. I wanted to also go back to reassurance seeking as a compulsion. When sometimes when we've nodded to it several times as we've talked about it today, the sort of contamination by proxy almost, like I'm afraid that I'm going to not clean my child, right? Like, and my child's going to not be well as a result of that, mm-hmm. Or they're going to be exposed to something, that you might find a lot of reassurance from family members related to that particular concern.
Right. So you mean like, so family, whether or not family members are doing it or having family members be a part of that, be in cahoots with your OCD?
I mean, all of the above. Yeah. But I think I'm talking specifically about, you might find yourself asking your parent or your spouse, like, hey, do you think this is safe, over like repetitively? And I don't want to, obviously it makes sense, right? In some instances that you might once say,
right,
where do we stand with this? But if you find, right, like, do we, you know, fell on the ground or like, you know, okay. So for example, and I don't happen to have
microplastics too.
Oh yeah. Microplastics. Hello.
It's the new hot topic of contamination OCD.
It's good. I was just thinking that I don't have this particular subtype. However, I do have a small child. And so one of the things I just want to normalize, it's like, it's very typical to say, like, I tell my husband, like, please take your shoes off before walking on the mat that our child tends to suck.
Yeah. I mean,
makes sense, but I'm not like always going like, well, do you think she's safe? I mean, she did, she sucked on it and your shoe was there. So, right. And that's where we see the reassurance. Yeah. And then
washing.
Yes. Yep.
The whole thing.
Or you wash it. Or actually, that's not a bad idea. Like, what if we just took, since I know you and I like to cover mm-hmm. lots of things and we get excited. What if we just took one manifestation of this and walked through what different compulsions we're likely to see, both through accommodation and just straight up, I'm going to do compulsions.
Can you be more clear on that? Sorry.
Yeah, no, I'm just here. Throw out a very particular example of contamination OCD to me, and then I will start the ball rolling of like how.
So
yeah,
it could be if we're, you know, talking about children, mm-hmm. it could be a contamination related to, and I think it is a hot topic and one that we have to, as parents, have to navigate is like, a contamination around like environmental stuff. So it might be like the type of lotion you use on a child or mm-hmm. the type of sunscreen or I don't know, any of those. Does that help?
That's a great example. I'm glad that it's one that we haven't quite gotten to yet. Yeah. So it's like, and it's a nice way to.
Okay, good.
Yeah. So we take that. If you, let's say that you're concerned about the types of lotion that your child uses or doesn't use, you may find yourself doing excessive research into how, like, what is and isn't safe and what's been associated with what outcomes. If you happen to use lotions that aren't of that category or that you're not sure whether or not they're safe, you might find yourself avoiding those lotions, or, you know, using some sort of barrier, like putting on gloves or maybe hand washing, which seems to kind of defeat the purpose of the lotion, but whatever. One can see that happening. You might find that you seek reassurance. You mm-hmm. might ask that your spouse only use this one particular kind of lotion. You might find yourself getting very angry with your family member who decides to use a different lotion. You
nailed it.
Yeah. You could mentally review, well, or debate with yourself about whether or not a lotion is safe.
You could ask for tons of reassurance from other parents, maybe, or other right. people, of like what their thoughts are about it.
Totally. You might be like, covert and be like,
so what do you think about? Do you use?
Uh-huh. Exactly.
Did you read that article?
You know, I used this one kind of lotion and I wasn't sure if other people, right? It's sort of like floating it out there to see how it's received. Mm-hmm. There are all sorts of ways that we can imagine that this, and this is just one example, right? That we can see compulsions coming into play in the face of a concern.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Any other thoughts on this before, on the compulsion side of things, before we wrap up for today?
I don't think so.
No,
I think we covered it.
Covered a lot. Happy to address anything that we didn't cover today in the third part coming to you in 4 weeks' time.
Yeah.
And like I said, don't miss us 2 weeks from today. We'll be talking with Dylan Tucker, who is the director of Pure O, the film about Pure O, as a matter of fact. As always, we so appreciate you joining today.
Yes, thank you all for joining us.
And mostly, thank you for joining me and, you know, for this.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Have a great couple weeks, everyone. We'll see you on the flip side.
We'll see you then.
Thanks for joining us. Just as a reminder, this podcast is not therapy, nor is it intended as a replacement for therapy. If you need further support, we encourage you to seek treatment with a registered professional who specializes in OCD.
If you have a moment, we'd love to hear what you think. Feel free to leave us any feedback by reviewing us on your podcast app of choice. You can find past episodes on our website at purelyocd.com. Remember, this podcast is for you, so please let us know what you would like to hear. We want to make our message as helpful as it can be.
We hope you will join us in the future as we continue our discussion on all things OCD.